Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Final hour, Willie G, here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Gonna take a little walk later on, midtown. Try to walk off some of yesterday's gloriousness. Thanksgiving turkey, stuffing. Turkey came out so good. Oof, man. Also, these are two things that I feel like are false hustle. If you try to make your own gravy, that's false hustle. And if you try to make your own cranberry sauce, also false hustle. The best gravy is the canned Heinz gravy. And the best cranberry sauce is the jellied cranberry sauce you get in the can with the lines on the outside. That's the best. Those two are the goat. If you try to make your own gravy, you're just showing off. If you try to make your own giblet gravy, you're just showing off. And if you try to make your own cranberry chutney or cranberry, you know, whatever you want to try to do there, that's I'm not touching it. I'm not eating it. I want the canned stuff. That's all you really need. I do want to at least reiterate my last point because I think some people didn't get it. Guy on the text line goes, arms break down because of lack of work? No. That's a texter from the text line at 404-741-0929. Look, in 2018 and 2019, you had normal seasons. 2020 was not a normal season because you had the ramp up that didn't even get a full ramp up to the start of the season that would have been in April. You had that shutdown combined with another ramp up that was not nearly as long to a regular season that really, when it comes to starting pitchers, you think about 60 games, guys were only getting a handful of starts, maybe 10 starts to 11 starts per pitcher, and that's at the most optimistic output. And maybe you get three or four more starts in the postseason. A starting pitcher in a normal year makes anywhere from 25 to 35 starts in a regular season. Sometimes usually tops out around 32 or 33, really. You mean to tell me that after a full year of not having that workload and basically taking a whole year off, that when you're asked to do that type of ramp up, basically a year removed from having to go through that workload, that you're not going to see soft tissue injuries and guys breaking down throughout the season and the need to maybe give guys some time off during the year? I feel like you're going to see a lot of injuries to pitchers in 2021. It's not going to be like a situation where you see a full rotation go away. But you are going to see issues, I think, with some of these pitchers breaking down with arm issues and back tightness. I feel like a lot of that stuff's going to happen throughout the 2021 year. And that's why I applaud Alex Anthopoulos for going out and fortifying that rotation in the fashion he's done so. Because even with the 5, 6, 7 guys that they start the regular season with, they might still need that much more in reserve in order to try and make it through the 2021 season. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, on Twitter at Willie P Style, and also on the text lines and the phones at 404-741-0929. 50 minutes from right now, we'll talk NFL with Eric Edholm. We'll ask him about how the Falcons fix their direction moving forward. Also, the game against the Las Vegas Raiders this upcoming weekend, which you'll hear here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And also about one game that's currently in doubt in terms of the National Football League. We'll get to that and all the other happenings going on across the sports world in Atlanta and beyond with What's Happening.
Peter, what?
What?
What's happening?
Falcons and Raiders this weekend at the Benz. Falcons come in with a record of 3-7. Las Vegas at 6-4. Again, these teams only play once every 4 years, so this is the first time we get a chance to see the Raiders in Las Vegas form. Vegas off of a loss to Kansas City. They split the season series with their division rivals in the AFC West. Of course, our rivals in the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints, handed us our seventh defeat of the season as we sit in 3-7 in the bottom of the NFC South barrel. Looking towards this week, you see a high-powered offense for the Ravens and also an underrated defense. Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan talks about Jonathan Abram and what they have to contend with him and the rest of the Raiders' D.
Yeah, I think Abram's playing really well. Physical player, does, you know, a lot of good things coming down as a safety into the front seven. You know, he rushes well. Very physical, good player. You know, I've been impressed with, you know, watching him. I think their defense as a whole is sound. You know, their scheme, guys understand their responsibilities in the scheme. You don't really see people out of position. They're disciplined that way. You know, and it's going to be a good challenge for us.
Positive note for the Raiders, they get a big defensive stalwart back for them. Their pass rushing specialist, Cleveland Furrell, has been activated off the reserve COVID-19 list, so he's back for reinforcement for Las Vegas. Same thing for the Falcons on their pass rushing side of things. Dante Fowler will be back with the team and has been back with the team this week after being activated off the reserve COVID-19 list. But the Falcons had to practice yesterday virtually because of a pair of positive tests inside their building from non-coaching parts of their support staff. Still not knowing whether or not they're going to practice in the building today or not. We'll get an update on that from Flowery Branch here later on today as far as the Falcons are concerned. So that, because of the fact that we don't know whether or not they're going to practice today, we have had no real update from the team as far as the injury designations. All we have to go off of is what they had on Wednesday, which did not see Hayden Hurst or Todd Gurley practice. Kadri Allison also did not practice because of an illness, non-COVID related, and a lot of guys limited, including Grady Jarrett, Dante Fowler, Foye Oluokun, Calvin Ridley, Luke Stocker, and Julio Jones. Julio, of course, hurt in the game against New Orleans with that nagging hamstring. A lot of people think that he possibly could use a shutdown either for another week or so or maybe the rest of the season just to make sure that hamstring is right when they strap it on again for 2021, because that has continued to bother him over the course of the latter part of this season. Meanwhile, inside the NFL at large, week number 12's game between the Ravens and Steelers, already postponed once from yesterday to Sunday, could be in doubt of being played at all because of positive COVID-19 tests inside the Ravens room. Four more positives yesterday, including quarterback Lamar Jackson, their starter, potentially, or actually he said that he will miss this game, and Robert Griffin III will start for the Ravens if that game gets played. ESPN's Adam Schefter on that game being in doubt.
Listen, there are divergent point of views here. I think if you ask the NFL, the league has said up until tonight that the game would be on Sunday at 1:15 Eastern, but that was before four more players tested positive and one more Ravens staffer tested positive. Now we've got close to a dozen players who have tested positive. We've got a number of staffers that have tested positive, and I think in the health and safety interests that it's hard to play the game when John Harbaugh, the head coach, told his players on Thanksgiving night that they're not going to be allowed back into the building until Monday at the earliest. So if they're not allowed back in the building until Monday at the earliest, you can only imagine how difficult it would be to play a game on Sunday.
Current options right now involve that game being played on Monday or Tuesday or a possible 18th week being added to the schedule to try and accommodate the ability to play that contest. It would also create another bye for some of these teams in the opening round of the playoffs. They still have the bye to work with in between the championship game and the Super Bowl. If they want to utilize that, they can. or possibly just shift everything back 1 week. Of course, there are some other logistical issues to happen also for that. Adding in the also fact that the Ravens are scheduled to play 6 days from now as well against the Dallas Cowboys. That game might have to be moved back as well, just so that the Ravens aren't playing twice in the span of 2 or 3 days. But Ravens and Steelers still on as of right now. We'll get an update on that from Eric Edholm coming up in about 11 minutes right now, from right now, here on Sports Radio 99.9 The Game. The Atlanta Hawks have had a transformative offseason, to say the least, adding in a bunch of new talent, including Bogdan Bogdanovic, Danilo Gallinari, Rajon Rondo. It's a much different team than they started the offseason with, and General Manager Travis Schlenk says they've not only done all they need, they've done all they wanted and gotten all the players on their target list.
As far as the guys we got, yeah, listen, a lot of the guys that we had towards the top of our list, we were able to get. You know, certainly we didn't get them all, but we feel real good about the group we're able to get.
Travis Schlenk, General Manager of the Hawks. Guys will start to be reporting to Atlanta this weekend. They'll get into their COVID-19 quarantine protocols. They are scheduled to take the floor for the first time on Tuesday to start training camp. And then games will get underway with exhibitions on the 11th and then the actual season on December the 22nd. All heard right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There's some college football on this Black Friday. Iowa State and Texas, Oregon State in the Civil War, Nebraska and Iowa as well inside the Big Ten. And a key ACC matchup that could determine the playoff, with number 19 UNC hosting second-ranked Notre Dame at Keenan Stadium in Chapel Hill. The Georgia Bulldogs get underway against South Carolina under the lights at Williams-Brice Stadium on Saturday. Georgia trying to make it a pair in a row after winning against Mississippi State this past weekend, taking on a USC squad without its head coach, Mike Bobo, now the interim man. Of course, he is the former offensive coordinator and quarterback at UGA. He took over for Will Muschamp, who was fired, the first real Power 5 firing in college football. Kirby Smart talked about how much JT Daniels improved the entire quarterback position as a whole for Georgia and what he needs to improve on in his second career start with the Bulldogs.
You see him make good throws. I think his mobility is not going to do anything but hopefully improve his decision-making, and those are the things that the people around him got to play well. He's got to get a run game around him to help him in order to reach his full potential and things like that.
Georgia and South Carolina. College basketball today. Georgia Tech takes on Mercer. Georgia State takes on Toccoa Falls. Georgia had its opening game against Columbus State postponed, or at least called off, I should say, because of COVID-19. They're scheduled to play Sunday against Florida A&M. I mentioned Georgia State and Georgia Tech first because those two played each other on Wednesday night to open up the college basketball season. A thrilling game deep into Wednesday night into Thursday morning. A 123-120 win for the Panthers of Georgia State over Josh Pastner's Yellow Jackets. And Pastner said he believed that not only were they going up against a tough team from the Sun Belt, but also going up against a higher power.
You know, we had some chances late. We clawed our way back. You know, we got down. We came back. We just could never put him away. It was almost like the basketball gods, you know, said, okay, Georgia State's winning this game.
And again, they play Mercer later on today. That's actually part of a series that's going to go each of the next couple of seasons. They're going to play again at McCamish next year and then in the brand new Convocation Center on the Georgia State campus. Actually, it's closer now to Center Park Stadium, the former Turner Field, brand new building that they just broke ground on for the Panthers, and it'll be a sparkling new facility that they'll get underway with in the 2022-2023 season. These 2020 situations are getting very hard to say. 2022 and 2023. In the 2020 year, 27th of November, we'll talk to Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. He covers the National Football League. We'll, of course, get into all the stuff that's going on throughout the NFL, including the Falcons, who get ready for the Raiders this weekend. Here on Sports Radio 99.9 The Game and radio.com. This portion of the Willie P. Show brought to you by Bank of America. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com app. Willie P. in the building with you here on a Thanksgiving Friday. And yes, it is a Thanksgiving Friday, otherwise more colloquially known as Black Friday. We get to the WaitForIt.com hotline, joined by my good friend Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports to talk some NFL with us. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Eric. Hope everything's well with you and yours.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. Hope you're doing well, buddy.
Doing all right. Before I get into the Falcons, I do want to ask you about the pressing issue involving the NFL right now with the Ravens and the Steelers. Of course, positive tests inside the Ravens room, including quarterback Lamar Jackson, have put that game in doubt. What is the latest that you are hearing in terms of that game being completed on time and what alternatives they could possibly have if that game gets banged?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like any kind of final decisions have been made or anything like that. So, I mean, it's sort of really hard to say. Obviously, the league has been a little bit inconsistent on their COVID-related decisions to this point. I know the Steelers feel pretty, you know, sort of slighted. They got the early bye the last time this happened. They had to kind of rearrange the schedule. They were expected to play on Thursday. And, you know, obviously this is going to be tough too, because the Ravens, I believe, play, the following week on a Thursday. So can't really push the game to Monday, right? Can't have a 2-day rest in between. So it does sort of feel like this is going to be a very tricky thing, but I don't know that it'll be much different than what the 49ers faced when they faced the Packers earlier this year, where they had a depleted roster and, you know, kind of were told to suck it up, so to speak. So that may be where we're at this point.
And also, too, like, I do feel like we talk a lot about the teams that are affected, but I almost feel like you said, that the Steelers kind of have gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to COVID. Now, granted, it hasn't hurt them in the record. They're still undefeated, but I do feel like there is a situation right now where you have the bridge of unintended consequences, so to speak, when it comes to some of these teams. And I'm wondering if that 18th week might be something that starts getting implemented as some of these games start to lose some spots to move them to.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, the ace card in the hole, if you will, if the NFL wants to use it. I know they'd like to avoid using it. I mean, just from everything I've been able to gather the last few months, it's, you know, more of a break glass in case of emergency type of deal. It's a safeguard if multiple situations arise where, you know, the scheduling difficulties become, you know, too overwhelming. So, yeah, it's there to use. It's an option. I still believe that it's the kind of thing they don't want to invoke if they don't have to, I would say.
Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He is a senior NFL writer looking towards week number 12. The Falcons have the Raiders. And just from our perspective, Eric, you know, talking about how this franchise moves forward, the biggest question that I'm asking this morning is, you know, we've seen transformative off seasons happen in this city and other sports. The Hawks and Braves, obviously, are big chief among them. That's very difficult to do in the NFL. And transforming a roster that I think with the Falcons need some transformation is a difficult prospect. How do you go about transforming this roster in the offseason to give you the kind of forward-thinking prognosis that the Falcons need?
Yeah, I mean, you first have to decide both the short and long term at quarterback. And you know, by no means is Matt Ryan the biggest issue facing this team or anything like that. Obviously, we know he can still play at a high level on many Sundays. But you have to figure out, okay, are we trying to compete next year? Are we going to keep kind of making these, you know, keeping the window open, I would say, to be a competitor? Or are we going to restart? Is Matt on the trade block? Is he open to a trade? Is, you know, what are our options? Who would be interested? What can we get in return? Is it possible that he stays on next year as a bridge quarterback or a mentor for somebody they draft in the first or second round? It's possible. You know, I mean, not knowing who the new leadership quotient is going to be for this team obviously clouds the picture a little bit. I'm sure obviously Arthur Blank is going to have plenty of influence on that as well. And, you know, when he was last asked about it, it was clear that the door remained open for all options. He wasn't going to just say, I want Matt here or Matt's gone. I mean, it was very, you know, I think all options remain still on the table, and they've kind of cast a wide net, I would say, as far as who they're, you know, talking to so far for the front office position. You know, obviously the head coach would probably follow after that, the decision on who would be the permanent owner of that job. So that's the biggest thing. And obviously I think when you look at their roster, you say to yourself, there's talent on the first team. Now it's about getting some depth and a few crucial defenders who can help this club kind of take the next step forward. It's not as if, you know, the NFC South is locked in as this powerhouse division. We don't know the futures of Brady and Breeze, and we don't know what's going to happen in Carolina. So there's still an opportunity there. It's one of those really interesting kind of catch-22 situations. Do you go for it in the short term, knowing there could be a window, or do you set more for the long term and cast that kind of vision?
Yeah, and I feel like, too, you spoke a little bit about it, and I kind of want to stop down on the order of operations for this offseason. In your mind, do you feel like the GM will be the first domino to fall?
I mean, it's been done the opposite way by a lot of teams in recent years, and what I would say with mixed results, you know, where you hire the coach first and then the GM, and you know, if those two aren't necessarily in lockstep or I don't want to say a package deal or anything like that, but I mean, if they're not kind of sharing a vision, or if you don't do it in that order and the GM doesn't feel like they had a hand in making that call, you know, there's always that little bit of tension of, well, I want to go get my guy, right? Every GM, every guy hired to that position typically wants to have their fingerprints on a head coaching decision, unless they're winning right out of the gates and there's no issue about that. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that they're going to look at some well-known names, some names people know, and then some ones that maybe people are just getting familiar with, like a guy like Brad Holmes, the scouting director for the Los Angeles Rams, an Atlanta native. He's been in the league since, you know, the Rams came in. It was sort of the late 90s, early 2000s, I want to say he got his start, early 2000s when he got his start with the Rams, and, you know, has overseen some very successful drafts that have gotten to them a Super Bowl and things like that. So, you know, and then you may see some other names as well, but it wouldn't shock me if they go a little off the board with their hire, maybe somebody that fans aren't as familiar with.
Hey, Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, joining us, NFL analyst here with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And if it's me, and again, I'm speaking as myself, not necessarily Rich McKay. If it's me, I'd almost rather have somebody with upward movement in his name. I don't want, you know, some of these retread names that I'm hearing. You know, I don't want Rick Smith. I don't necessarily want Reggie McKenzie. You know, a Brad Holmes or a Champ Kelly. I'm more intrigued by somebody using this job as upward movement than I am with somebody trying to come in and try to recapture whatever past greatness or try to get greatness he couldn't achieve in another organization.
Right. Yeah, no, it's an interesting point, too. I mean, obviously, you know, we think about head coaches kind of being, you know, sometimes these days, unless you are, you know, have a sterling reputation, usually one shot these days. That's definitely true with general managers, though. You don't see as many recycled names as you have in the past. So, yeah, I think there's a very good chance that it is somebody like Kelly who's taken a, you know, kind of a wild route to where he's at. He's an extremely well-respected personnel guy in the scouting circles. You know, it's so obvious for a lot of people to say, well, you know, Champ was with the Bears and they picked, you know, the wrong quarterback a couple of years ago. Why do we want that guy? It's way too simple to boil it down to that, you know, and you have to sit there and do your homework as the Falcons and say, where were you on the side of this debate? Where did, you know, Champ was one of many voices in the room. Ultimately, the decision came down to Ryan Pace, you know, the general manager for the Bears. So, you know, it's sort of like being a good coordinator. It doesn't necessarily make you a good head coach. I feel like, you know, being a good talent evaluator doesn't always make you a good GM either. So there's a lot of elements to that job that need some parsing before they make that call.
60 seconds on the Raiders, Eric. They come in this weekend at the Benz to take on Atlanta. A lot better than I think a lot have expected when you think about a lot of the people who kind of pan the John Gruden and Mike Mayock pairing. They've kind of turned things around with that franchise.
I'm happy they have, really. You know, and I thought this was a team on the rise. The last couple drafts have been pretty fruitful, and maybe they haven't gotten the high-end stars, but they've really kind of replenished their roster a little bit. And you know, I really like the fact they've gotten a competitive football team. They're a couple of plays away from 7-3. They played the Chiefs as well as anybody this season. So got to give them a lot of respect. And, you know, they did it with Derek Carr. It's not like, you know, Gruden came in and said, I want a new quarterback and this and that. It's it's an interesting kind of case study for Falcons fans too. Obviously, Carr's younger than Matt Ryan, but you know, it almost did sort of remind you of what Kyle Shanahan was able to do in his second season as OC in Atlanta, the same thing that Gruden has been able to do, you know, and now that he's had a little time with Carr. So it's a well-oiled offense right now, and they're playing with confidence.
Eric, thank you so much for the time. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Good to hear your voice. See ya.
That's Eric Edholm, good friend from Yahoo Sports here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great insight on the Falcons GM and coaching search, and also their game this weekend against the Raiders. We'll get to the kicker coming up here, and a lot of those stories that really only fit in one way, shape, or form. There's a guy who I really hit hard when he was here in Atlanta, but he did something very, very cool this week on his way out of town that I want to give some praise to among some other stories as part of the kicker that comes your way next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. The always deft touch of producer Marshall Parker. He and I have the combined Tottenham Hotspur allegiance. They won 4-0 yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
Of course, playing an English Premier League song is the most un-Thanksgiving-esque type thing, but it is what it is. I will say, I am bucking tradition a little bit. Normally, and this is why the day after Thanksgiving is actually my sister's favorite day of the year. She hates Thanksgiving, but she absolutely loves the day after Thanksgiving because usually her day after Thanksgiving breakfast is apple pie for breakfast. She will make sure to have that. I think where she was last night, she went over to a friend's house. They only had pumpkin, so she literally is walking down the street to her diner that's right down the street from her place to get herself some apple pie this morning. We asked you the question yesterday, by the way, and throughout the week, which Thanksgiving Day staple is not on your board, is not on your table? Pecan pie, also green bean casserole, sweet potato pie, and mac and cheese were the four choices. We think we all kind of assume that turkey stuffing slash dressing and cranberries is part of your Thanksgiving table. Basically, the rest are kind of ones that are people kind of take and pick and choose. Green bean casserole wanted out over sweet potato pie. And of course, that had all the green bean casserole stands going crazy, including our good friend Caleb Johnson, who's doing the updates admirably today on Sports Radio 99 The Game. He says people have to add a little sour cream to their green bean casserole. And I absolutely abhor sour cream. Do not like sour cream. I have to look the other way when Julianne puts it in the mashed potatoes. It apparently adds a nice flavor, but I'm not a fan of sour cream.
That sounds terrible.
But apparently he said to add that. What I did is I put a little Worcestershire sauce instead of, like, some of the recipes call for soy. I put a little Worcestershire on there. It gave it a nice little kick. But yeah, no sour cream in the GBC for me. But that was one that I had. If I had to pick one of those to eliminate, I would have picked sweet potato pie, just because I feel like sweet potato pie and pumpkin pie are very similar. I'm not going to say they're the same. Don't say Willie P said sweet potato pie and pumpkin pie are the same and Willie P is an idiot. Don't do that. Don't put that evil on me. But I'll say this. I bet you there will be a couple of times where I've had somebody's sweet potato pie and pumpkin pie, and you give me a blind taste test Pepsi challenge, I probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference. I did have my first pecan pie last night, so that was very happy to at least experience that for the first time. And again, so ignorant am I with the pecan pie, I didn't realize it wasn't just all pecans. It actually is some custard underneath. So that was revelation for me last night.
That's so good. But you really only have one piece. It's so rich.
It's very rich.
I can eat multiple pieces of pumpkin pie, but
I had
pecan pie. No.
I had a sliver of pecan and a sliver of pumpkin, both covered with some cool whip. So it was very, very good. That might actually be calling my name here once we get off the air. Jason Longshore and Chris Goforth have you, by the way, from 10 until 2. Nick Kale, Harry Douglas from 2 until 7. And then Sam Crenshaw will have you from 7 to 11. All live and local programming, not only today, but throughout the weekend. I'll be back on tomorrow from noon until 3. We'll have our usual Saturday slate. I believe Kale has the mornings tomorrow from 6 until 10, followed by college football, 6 to 9, I should say, followed by college football game time with Chris, Randy, and Chuck. And then we'll have our usual Falcons Fair with you on Sunday, beginning at 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock with Sam Crenshaw and Greg Clarkson, myself and Bryant McFadden this week for the Falcons Wade Ford tailgate show, and then Falcons football coverage beginning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game following that. Before we get on out of here, though, for today, it's time to hit you with the kicker.
We're talking about our kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. What has the sports world come to? We're talking about kickers. He has ruined kickers for life.
I don't like the sound of them apples, Will.
I don't like it, don't like it, don't like it.
Take care of y'all mentals, take care of y'all bread, and take care of y'all chicken. Well, he wasn't taking care of chicken, but he was taking care of turkey. Marshawn Lynch, the former running back for both the Raiders and the Seahawks, handed out 200 free turkeys in Honolulu on Monday, giving out to those less fortunate. Of course, he is big in the Hawaiian community. Has done a lot of work there since his retirement. Also was involved with former Hawaii football star Chad Owens involving the distribution of the turkeys. In April, he also rode through a park in Oakland on a beast mode cart handing out face masks. So he has been real big with the charitable nature since COVID-19 and has done so throughout his career, to his credit, despite all the antics that you see. Alongside his NFL career, he has certainly done a lot of wonders in the community, and so has this next subject. And look, if there's no other symbol for the transformation of the Atlanta Hawks roster from unsettling to good, it's DeAndre Bembry. Fell out of favor here. Defense was an issue. Offense was an issue. Sometimes he kept held onto the ball when he really shouldn't have had to. He turned into a real pariah in my eyes when it comes to his on-the-court prospects. But off the court, he did something that I found myself really impressed with. As you may or may not know, Bembry has moved on. He signed this offseason with the Toronto Raptors. But he said earlier this week, "I will always have love for Atlanta. That's why I'm helping families across Atlanta by providing Thanksgiving meals this week." You can follow his organization at AP World Love to see him making special deliveries, and he was able to give turkeys and food to those involving Solomon's Temple, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and also other families throughout the city. Just a great, great gesture from somebody who, while we didn't see the on-court success, he certainly made it count where it needs to be, and appreciate DeAndre Bembry for doing that. I talked about the story earlier in the week. Vanderbilt football will be going with a female kicker this week. They are down to basically last licks inside their specialists room right now because of COVID-19 positive tests. And head coach Derek Mason has employed the services of women's soccer player Sarah Fuller. She apparently practiced on Wednesday with the team. And according to Mason, she's got a strong leg. We'll see what that yields. She seems to be a pretty good option, so we'll figure out what that looks like on Saturday. She is believed to be the first ever female participant in a Power 5 school situation. She'd be the first Power 5 women's football player in the history of FBS college football. So we'll see whether or not that comes to fruition on Saturday when Vandy takes on Mizzou. It's one thing to run a mile in less than 6 minutes. Probably would take me around 10 minutes now. It's another thing to run it in 5:30, and it's quite one more to do it all backwards. 35-year-old Aaron Yoder has made a habit out of running the mile backwards. 35-year-old is from Lindsberg, Kansas. He shattered the world record that he set back in 2015. Back then, he ran it 5 minutes and 54 seconds backwards, beat it by 3 seconds last year, but this particular year, he ran the mile backwards in 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Impossible. I can't I can't do it in double the time forwards. He's doing it backwards in 5:30. A great, great article in Men's Health that not only details what he had to do training-wise differently than other runners and also coordinating-wise. The one thing that I feel about any time, you know, your backpedal, you know, when you used to backpedal in football, you can never go straight. It's like skating. Like, anybody ever try to do ice skating backwards or a rollerblade backwards? Never very easy to do, but he's able to make that work. And again, he ran a sub 5:30 mile all backwards. And that's the kicker for today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot of great stuff today on the program. My thanks to Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports, who joined us earlier in the program to talk about the Falcons. If you missed that, you can use the rewind function on the radio.com app or see it on demand at radio.com. Thanks also to Joe Patrick, Sam Crenshaw, and to Marshall Parker producing this program as we hopefully brought you a little bit of fun and flavor on this Thanksgiving Friday. If you're going out and about today, be sure to stop by the Atlantic Station Team Store with the Falcons and Atlanta United. 40% off headwear, 40% off select apparel, also doorbuster hoodies, 50% off. And if you show your Home Depot app with a $100 purchase at the Falcons store, you can get a $50 Home Depot gift card. Fantastic stuff in Atlantic Station with the Atlanta Falcons and United store. My name is Willie P. I'll be back here with you tomorrow at noon, from noon until 3, taking you through your college football Saturday. Chris Goforth and Jason Longshore have you next. And I'll say so long. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.